A recent lawsuit raises questions about students' privacy rights on high school campuses. The suit argues hundreds of students at Worth County High School in Sylvester, Georgia, were subjected to a humiliating pat-down by local sheriff's deputies. Attorney Crystal Redd of the Southern Center for Human Rights filed suit against the Worth County Sheriff's Office. She says on April 14th, students at the school were put on lockdown without a reason given.
Nearly 900 students were then ordered out of their classrooms into the hallways, and then each student was physically searched. The hands of the law enforcement officers were touching the students' bodies in order to conduct this search under the guise of searching, doing a drug sweep.
Even though hundreds of students were searched, Red says the investigation focused on a small number of them.
Sheriff Hobby came with what was a target list of 13 students that they believed to be involved in some type of illegal drug activity, but only three of those students on that list were actually present in the school. And those students were taken to administrators' offices and searched and remained in those administrator offices for the entirety of the search.
We reached out to Worth County Sheriff Jeff Hobby. He did not respond. In April, he told WALB-TV that as long as a school administrator was present, the personal search of the children was legal. His office told the New York Times to refer all questions to a lawyer, who also didn't respond to our request for comment. Robin McDougall is with us. She is the director of the Office of Public Policy Outreach at L. Douglas Wilder School of Government and Public Affairs. That's at Virginia Commonwealth University. Robin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tony. How are you
doing? I'm great. Talk me off my ledge here. help me. So imagine this. Let's paint this picture for everyone. So we're talking about 900 or so students pulled from their classes, lined up in hallways, and searched by sheriff's deputies, and there are drug-sniffing dogs on scene as well. What was your reaction when you heard this?
Well, you know, Tony, it's a very interesting situation. You know, there have been Supreme Court decisions as, you know, most recently as in the late 80s that have talked about school administrators' roles in being able to search students on school grounds and having some authority around being able to expand the unreasonable search and, you know, right to privacy. But this situation is extremely unique. You're not talking about a school administrator calling in law enforcement and asking for the search because they're concerned. You're not talking about a school administrator conducting the search of a classroom or someone's car or a locker. You're talking about a sheriff's department bringing in their officers on, I'm assuming, based on the information provided in the media, a tip that they received that a small group of students were selling drugs or possessing drugs in the school. Now, when you think about that logic, then how could they have come into the school, asked to know where those few students were, perhaps even gone as far as searched the room, had the drug-sniffing dogs walk through the classrooms of where those students were? That might have been more reasonable in this conversation and argument, but searching 900 students? That's where I think we've kind of moved beyond what the court has said in previous decisions around a school system and a school administrator's authority to perhaps exceed some of the rights to privacy and rights to unreasonable searches for students. So I think that this is a very unique situation that brings about a lot of questions around how in the world do you argue that all 900 students were a legitimate opportunity to search?
So, Robin, help me understand this. Let's try to put on law enforcement's hat, as difficult as it is, and the fit is uncomfortable. But let's try to do that for a moment here. What in your mind would justify receiving a tip of a few students perhaps being involved in drug activity, and that tip leading to a search of the premises? Okay, I get that. But of patting down, of searching 900 students based on a tip that speaks to a few students being involved.
That's the problem, Tony, that piece right there. I can make the very strong argument and support around searching a group of students that could be involved with those five students, a classroom of students even where those five students are. I can't make a strong legal or honestly logical argument on searching all 900 students. Now, if there was something where someone sends a tip that says, some kind of very toxic illegal substance is being sold and there's a risk of students overdosing, and we know that a huge majority of students at this school have this drug on them. But that's not what the presentation was. And I still think that would be a weak argument, by the way. But that's not what the presentation was. So I think that's the struggle that the sheriff's going to have, is the 900-student search. But I do think that this does bring up an interesting question, which is going to, I think, see this case make its way up through the court systems, mm-hmm. not around what this sheriff did in the search of the 900 students. I think that's going to be thrown out, and we're going to see some
settlement.
Civil settlements, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But what we are saying now is, we know the role of school administrators, the court's decision on the role of school administrators searching without probable cause, and the student's lack of right to privacy by school administration. But that's not what happened here. Was what happens when law enforcement comes into the school and they act not on the request of the school administration, but on a tip they receive? Are they going to be asked to follow the normal probable cause procedure that we would expect outside of a school, or do they fall under this caveat of school administration? That's what I think this case is going to give us some court rulings moving forward that are going to give some guidance to law enforcement on how they – what their purview is in these school systems.
Well, Robin, I'm not going to let you off the hook. I'm going to give you a moment here to answer your own question here. But I want you to listen to Attorney Crystal Redd of the Southern Center for Human Rights. She says sheriff deputies, and we're getting more insight on, the nature of this search, that the sheriff deputies who carried out this search were intrusive as they searched students at the school.
Deputies inserted their fingers inside of young women's bras, pulled up the young women's bras, touching and partially exposing their bare breasts. They cupped and groped young men's genitals and their buttocks. That's some of the most intrusive searching that went on.
Yeah, and just the sound of that, right? That's not good. Okay, so I guess I want you to answer your own question, but let me maybe set it up with this. The Worth County Sheriff, his name is Jeff Hobby, he said the personal search of the children was legal because a school administrator was present. Is that true?
That the search becomes legal because the school administrator was present?
Was just present, not conducting the search, but was present at the time of the search as it was being carried out.
It depends. I mean, I think that the attorney is going to have great grounds here, that there's a difference between what we consider a pat-down search. We call that a Terry pat, that an officer could say, I'm patting down a student to make sure that they don't have any weapons that could hurt me. That is not what was depicted in what the attorney was presenting. The under the bra search, the humiliation of students in a public area to do that search. I mean, even when you're in police custody in a police department, searches are conducted in certain closed areas. Searches are conducted by, in most cases, female officers when there's a female detained person. So I think that the sheriff is going to, he is right in the fact that the court has said searches can be conducted legally by law enforcement in the presence of administration. I think that this is beyond a pat-down search or a search of a locker. I also think that the court said in that 1985 finding or decision that when the administration has requested the search.
Yes, yes.
That's going to be the other key piece.
That was
here.
Not the case here, correct?
No, based on what's been presented both by the attorney and by the media facts, that's not been the case here.
Okay.
So I think that it's not as simple as the administrators were present, thus the search is legal. I think there's a lot of unique factors in this search that makes that a lot more complex.
So, Robin, a couple of pieces here. The interim Worth County Superintendent Lawrence Walters said, I've never been involved with anything like that, talking about the search, ever in the past 21 years, and I don't condone it. My question is, was he in a position to stop it?
So that is an interesting thing. We've been talking a lot about that recently in the criminal justice arena. And, I think he could have tried to stop it. But in all honesty, law enforcement has the authority to come into a building if they believe there is a crime occurring. What the question becomes is private property or not. So do we deem the school private property? Mm-hmm. We deem the school the county's property, so we would say that law enforcement could potentially have the right to go in there. I don't know that that superintendent had grounds beyond just the moral grounds of saying, I can't let this happen,
yeah,
that he would have stopped it. I mean, that his actions, that he had any legal authority,
right,
to stop it in that situation, because we're in a situation where we've never seen this before, and he's exactly right. He's not the only person that's never seen anything like this before.
Yeah, and one more bit I want to share with you here. This is from the University of Georgia Law Professor Hillel Levine, who says it's not clear if law enforcement actually has the same rights as school officials to search students.
Has not been entirely clear as to how the difference between police officials versus school officials would change. And lower courts have offered some slightly different approaches. But it is clear, in some respects at least, there would be a higher bar for police officials to pass in order to conduct these kinds of searches.
And Robin, last thoughts from you as to where you see this going in the court system.
I think the law professor, you know, hit it on the nail on the head in that one. I think we're gonna force the court with this case to give much more clear guidance on what the expectations are for law enforcement in these situations, and specifically in situations where they're coming into the school,
yeah,
not on the bequest of the administrators. And he's right. We have not gotten any clear guidance for law enforcement by the courts. But I think this case is going to be the one that's going to push some pretty good guidance for law enforcement on how they will be able to operate and what standards they will be using.
Robin, appreciate it. Robin McDougall, she's the director of the Office of Public Policy Outreach at the L. Douglas Wilder School of Government and Public Affairs. That's at Virginia Commonwealth University. Robin, thank you.
Thank you so much, Tony. Have a great day.